In the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, whom God, Amen. Today, the readings of this blessed Sunday, the third Sunday of the blessed month of Tut, as we just heard, is the story of Zacchaeus, a very beautiful story of repentance we are all familiar with. And the thing that we are going to reflect on today is why people repent, why people decide in a certain moment to make a change, make a U-turn. As we pray every day in the 11th hour litany, asking Saint Mary to prepare for me the ways of repentance, O Lady the Virgin, هيئي لي أسباب التوبة آيات العذراء. So why people repent? Why people decide to change in a certain moment in their lives? One reason is feeling the loss, realizing the damage that they cause themselves and to other people. Sadly, not every person can come to this point. Certain people, they continue on causing damage all the time, to themselves and to other people around them, not realizing there is something wrong with them. They think that the damage, whatever is happening, is because somebody else's fault, outside of me. The prodigal son, he sat with himself and he started to thinking where I am, where I'm heading, and he looked at the misery that he got himself into. And he said to himself, I perish in hunger here. What exactly am I doing? And this was the turning point for him. Jonah did not realize how much damage he's causing to himself and others until he became in the middle of the sea and swallowed by the great fish. The loss of dignity, freedom, reputation, relationships, the favor of God. God is not listening to my prayer. This might trigger a person to think where I am and I need to make a change. The second reason is the burden of sin. Sin is something that's heavy. And we maybe all experience this in a certain time in our lives when we are indulged in something that's sinful. Even though we are promised to find pleasure, but on the contrary, it is something that's so heavy and so burdensome for us. Saint Moses, why did he start to think to change direction? It is because of this burden of feeling himself leading a life of crimes and pleasure. All of this was something that's too much for him to bear. The rebuke of the conscience, something I'm not comfortable. I cannot find sleep. That's why you find people who commit crimes and no people would know about them. They go themselves and volunteer to confess what they did wrong because, again, of the burden of sin. The burden of shame and guilt, walking all the time feeling there is something wrong with me. This burden can help many people to go and make a change. The third reason is realizing the vanity of pleasure. And again, as I said, not every person can come to this point of realization, but it is something that's common. People, after trying over and over and over, being indulged in pleasures over and over and over, and then they find there is emptiness, there is vanity. King Solomon gave us his wisdom about this. As he said in the book of Ecclesiastes, summarizing a part of his life that he led in kind of pursuing pleasure with no limits. He said, whatever my eyes desire, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. We don't have to do it again. We don't have to go into the same experience again, thinking that if I get to this pleasure, I will be happy. If I will try again, I will try maybe stronger. If I go more wild in the life of being away from God, I will find pleasure. Very sad thing that happens to many of the college kids. Once they are in college, the first thing they try to do is to drink and get drunk, and assuming that this is fun and this is pleasure. Something that's so foolish. But unfortunately, people are still trying again. Maybe I will find something that's enjoyable. So sad. And again, when people keep trying something like this, you will never know if you you'll never know if you will be safe in a time where a change need to be done. The fourth reason why people change and repent is finding meaning and purpose in the life of a godly life near Christ. Saint Augustine is one of those people who changed it because of this. And he came to this realization and prayed this profound prayer: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Nothing gives fulfillment, nothing gives purpose except a life with Christ. People sometimes assume that the next step in my life will give me fulfillment. If I am studying, if I'm in school, if I graduate and get a job, this will be the one. After they finish, oh, maybe when I marry. Marriage and relationship is the fulfillment. And then after they marry, they come to the same realization. Maybe if I get kids, kids will fill my life with meaning and purpose. And then we all, what's going to happen afterwards? When the kids grow up, when the kids graduate, when the kids marry, it's endless. It's endless. It's only, as St. Augustine said, it's only when the true relationship with Christ. Neither career, wealth, nor relationships can satisfy man's heart. The fifth reason is fear of judgment. It sometimes comes on the mind of an individual. I'm going to stand one day before God and I will give an account. And meditating on this fearful moment where there is no excuses can be said. There is no give me another chance. There is no ma'lish. So knowing this, thinking of this, trigger many people to change. There's a story about Saint Peter, a person by the name of Peter, the worshiper. He became a saint later. He was a very cheap person, very stingy. He withheld any of his wealth, not to give anything to the poor, until one day a poor person came to him and he wanted to kick him out. So he looked around for something to throw it at the poor person. He found a piece of dry bread. He took it and he threw it at the poor person to let him know that he's not welcome in his house. In the same night, he slept. During the night, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw angels are standing and he is to be judged. And there is a big scale. And on the scale, on the side of the scale where his like iniquities and sins are, many were like stacked. And on the side of his goodness, they couldn't find anything except this piece of bread that he threw it with the intention of kicking the man out. They said, okay, we will count it for him as goodness, charity. And they put it on the other side of the scale. And then, of course, the scale looked horrible, and the man was judged according to his like sins. He woke up and he was frightened, and he started to change. And he started to give and give and more and more and more, to the point that he distributed all of his wealth, up to the point that he sold himself as a slave and gave the money to the poor. He is known in the Synaxarium as Saint Peter the Worshipper. What changed him is that dread of the moment of standing before God and giving an account. There is another story about a Russian man. It's written, translated in multiple languages. This person lived early in the 20th century. He had this kind of experience where he was in a hospital, he was sick, and he said, one day I felt like I'm out of my body. And then he was taken by an angel, stood before God, and the angel started to bring a book about his life in front of the judge. And then they started to flip the pages. Everything looked horrible. So at the end, he heard a word from the judge, the Savior. He said, he's not worthy. He does not deserve to get in. And then he came back, as he says in the story, and he said, I do not know if what I saw was a vision, was a dream, was true. I don't know. But I know one thing only. I will never allow myself to stand again in this situation and hear the same words. He is not worthy. The fear of judgment triggered this man to make a change. Another reason is encountering a godly man. Get in touch with the person who truly knows God. Saint Augustine was inspired by the biography of Saint Anthony. He read his life story, and this was the one to change him. Saint John the Short went and visited Saint Baisa, who worked as a harlot. When he just sat in front of her and told her that, I see you, the demons are just playing on your face. This was enough for her to make a change and ask him, how can I come back from here? Nathan the prophet confronts David, telling him, you are the man, you are the person who did this kind of fault and sin. And this was the moment when David realizes something is totally wrong and need to be made. Encountering a godly man, of course, is one of the reasons that sometimes triggers some people to make a change. The seventh reason is seeing and tasting Christ. Zacchaeus is one of those people who met with Christ, and this was the moment when Christ said, Zacchaeus, come haste, I have to stay in your home this day. This kind of encounter with the sweetness of the Savior, the love that was offered to him, make him to feel his worth, made him to change. And as he received him joyfully, he made this kind of decision. Life will be different. The Samaritan woman is another example of seeing and tasting Christ. St. Paul also encountering Christ in his way to Damascus. He said, it indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Everything in his eyes became rubbish after he met with Christ. So these are different reasons why people decide to change. What is in common among all of them? One word is courage. Sometimes people, when they come to confession, say, I'm afraid what Abuna is going to say about me. Believe me, my brethren, the first thing that comes to the mind of the priest is that this is a courageous person. People who confess are only those people who are brave. Courage is something in common among all of them. It is displayed in how to accept to be even mocked while searching for the Lord Jesus, like Zacchaeus. People who are declaring the truth, there is a war against them. And we know this. This is happening around us. It is enough for you to stand and say, I believe in this, or I do not participate in this kind of sin. It's enough that you will receive mockery because of this. It needs courage for Zacchaeus to go over the tree and be looked at as a, what is this man is doing? It takes courage. It takes courage to sit and examine myself to see where I am and take full responsibility like the prodigal son. It takes courage to do this, to confront myself and say, this is something that's wrong. I am doing harm to myself and other people. It takes courage to simply say, I am sorry. There are certain people among us who never uttered these three words. Never. Never say it. Never in a context of an argument at home. Never while I do something wrong to my children. Never in dealing with friends. Never in life saying, I'm sorry. I'm always right in my mind. Even my confession is covered with this kind of halo of justification. But the word I'm sorry is something that some people never able to say at all. It takes courage. It takes courage also to not to continue on the path of the fools, pursuing the mirage of finding happiness through ungodly pleasures. It takes courage to say, this is foolishness. To continue doing this just because people around me are doing this, it's again something that's, it takes courage to be able to stop and say, I'm not going to be part of this mockery. It takes courage also to accept the cost of a change, like all of them. To change means it's going to cost me something that has a high price tag. But it takes, again, courage and understanding to be able to do this. Whatever the reason, my brethren, we are all called to imitate the example of Zacchaeus. We come to the church for this sole purpose, that we realize where we are and where we need to be and make the necessary change to offer repentance and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.